Good morning, church. As you guys know, I'm not Josh. I'm a few years younger, and I don't have a second baby. But if you guys haven't heard, him and Katie had their second daughter. So be prayerful for that and all of our recently delivered babies. Newborn, thank you. That's the word. I'm excited to be able to come up here and talk to you guys this morning. So before we start, let's go to God in a quick prayer. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Gospel. When you hear the word gospel, what comes to mind? Because there are several things that can come to mind. Maybe when you hear the word gospel, you think of your favorite hymn. Maybe you think of faithful love, or there's power in the blood, and you hear the, what can wash away? If I was a good singer, it'd be a lot more impactful. But do you hear that? Or do you hear maybe your favorite gospel singer? Maybe you hear Keith Lancaster, or a country singer who sings with that deep country drawl and sings these old-timey favorites. Or maybe you think of the definition of gospel, which means good news. I mean, it's fine. When I think of the word rabbit, I think of a little furry thing. I think of the definition. Or what about when you think of gospel, you think of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You've heard them called the gospels, so that's what you think of. Or maybe you think of the story of Christ. Maybe you think of his birth or his death, or his resurrection, or a combination. Regardless of what comes to mind, there's this theme of Jesus being throughout it, that Jesus is part of the gospel regardless of what we think of. But the term gospel has different meanings for a lot of people. So when you explain gospel, what do you explain? How do you explain it? I know for me, I have a saying that comes to mind. Growing up, I heard the saying, preach the gospel and when necessary, use words. That's one of the first things that comes to my mind because it was pretty impactful to me. I have a very Moses-like approach to how I do ministry. God, you want me to talk? No, I don't think so. Use Josh, use the elders, use somebody else. Because I don't know about you guys, but I'm not the most gifted speaker. I'm not someone who can charm stadiums of people. I'm not a Joel Osteen who can go and bring in hundreds of thousands of people. But something that I can do is I can do service. So for me, preaching the gospel was always just through service. I didn't want to use words. I was terrified of them. Because what if I didn't know enough? What if I said the wrong thing? What if I left this or that out? And they didn't get the full picture of what the gospel really was. What if because of my failures, this person would never know God, would never know the love of God? And this was what was going through my mind when I thought of gospel. Anything but saying it. But then in the past years, I recently started to reevaluate this. I thought about how did Jesus do ministry? Because Jesus was the guy who could do service, do acts of miraculous works way better than I ever could. I can't tell someone to walk and they'll walk. I can't go raise a person from the dead and say, come out. So if anybody could show the gospel without using words, it'd be God. Turn with me to Luke 4:43-44. And we can see a little bit about what Jesus thinks of his ministry. Luke 4:43-44. But he said, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because this is why I was sent. But he kept on preaching in the synagogues. So, and he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. He was doing these miraculous signs, and people wanted him to stay. They wanted him to stay to keep on doing miracles, keep on healing people, keep on impressing them. But he said, no, I need to go preach. This verse has caused me to get over my fear of words because they're necessary. That saying, I've changed it for myself, and instead of saying preach the gospel and when necessary use words, show the gospel and then use words. Because if I go out and I love you and I give you the best medical treatment you need, if I make you walk, if I heal your sight, and that's all I do for you, you are still going to die eventually. And then that's where you meet your judgment day. Because none of us is going to live forever in this body. So the gospel needs to be shared. We need to be able to use words. But the question is, what words do we use? What do we say? Because we have a book that talks about the gospel. We have four minor books in there that talk about the gospel as well. Because, I don't know about you guys, but it's kind of tough to say, oh, hey, McDonald's lady, let me talk about the gospel with you. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. There's a time for that, but it's not really feasible to do in your day-to-day time. So just open it up and start reading 28 chapters. There has to be a way that we can get a summary of the gospel that is powerful, that it encompasses everything. And I think the Bible gives us a good glimpse of that. Our main text for today is going to be Romans chapter 1, 1 through 7. So turn there, and we'll see what the Bible says about a gospel summary. So Romans is written to the church at Rome by the man named Paul, who is, if you don't count Christ, the greatest Christian ever. But he had never been to Rome. This was the first letter that he wrote to a church that he didn't found, that he didn't plant. So he didn't know everyone there. He knew a few people that he'd met throughout the travels. But he was talking to faceless people, people he didn't know. And this is what he starts with. Starting in verse 1, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his whole human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the spirit of holiness was declared with the power to be the son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also, who are among those called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Seven verses. That was Paul's summary of the gospel. He included everything in there. And we'll break it apart in a little bit. But this is what he started with. He was explaining himself to these people that he'd never met, saying, this is what I believe. This is what I'm about. And it took him seven verses. Then I started thinking, could I express the gospel in seven verses? Could I do it in a page? And it was hard. It was a struggle to break it down to a page for myself. But there's a saying that I heard, that if your doctrine cannot fit on a tweet, you don't know your doctrine well enough. A tweet is something that goes on Twitter for you guys that are a little bit older. It's about 140 characters. So, very, very few words. A Of course, there needs to be some leeway, but the point is that if you know your doctrine, your theology well enough, you don't need thousands of words, but you can say it in 7 verses, in a tweet, in a page. So the question is, do we know it that well? Because Paul sure did, and he was kind of effective. I mean, he shared the gospel to the known world at that point, most of it. So the question is, what does he start out with? What does he include in his gospel story? How can we create our own gospel story? So the first thing that Paul starts with in verse 1, he starts with himself. He says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. So these people had heard this story of this Paul, this killer of Christians who enjoyed, who took pleasure in killing Christians. They'd heard these stories. Of course, they were trying to run away from him. And he sent this and said, that's who I was, and this is who I am now. I am now a servant of Christ Jesus, an apostle to this man that I was trying to kill. When we say our gospel, it needs to start with what the gospel has done in us, because if the gospel hasn't changed us, why would anybody else care about it? If you want somebody to buy a product, to sell a product, you give reviews of people saying, we loved it, it changed this, it made cleaning easier, it made cooking easier. And we listen because it impacted them. If this gospel did nothing for us, why would somebody else care? Now, I know most of us don't have a crazy story like Paul. How many of you guys have killed Christians and then turned around and became an apostle for God? Anyone? No? Okay, so many of us didn't do that. How many of you guys were raised in the church? Yeah, great. A lot more of us. Growing up, I heard this thing called testimony envy, where you say, man, I wish I had gone through all the bad stuff so I could say, I went through this, now I'm a Christian. And it's a big thing, because we feel like our story isn't important, because what God has done in us isn't powerful. But it requires study, it requires time with God to figure out what he has done in us. Maybe that means that we were addicted to something and he brought us back. Whether it was drugs, drinking, maybe it's a feeling hopeless. Or maybe it was that God kept us from all that bad stuff. That because we were raised in church, we didn't have to go through all of that bad stuff. Maybe it's that even if we were raised in church, we still felt alone, still felt hopeless. But God gave us love. Maybe it's that our families were broken, that our family wasn't what we needed, but God gave us a family, that God gave us hope, God gave us love. Whatever your story is, it's powerful because it's about you. It just requires you praying to God for him to show you what he's done in your life, because God has been working in your life. God has been bringing you to here so that you can share what he has done in you. And that's the first thing that we need to share. That's what Paul did. And it was pretty powerful, pretty impactful. That's the same way that your story will be if you think about what he's done in you. But the gospel isn't just what it's done in our lives. It didn't just start when Christ was born. It went further back than that. In Romans 2 and 3, it says, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets and the holy scriptures regarding his son, whom as to his human nature was the descendant of David. He's writing to people who are Jews, who know Jewish history. And he is writing to them in their setting. He's saying, this guy has been working through your history. He has been going through your forefathers, through Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob, through David, to come and be born. God has been God has been around since creation. Jesus was always his plan A. It wasn't, let's try this, and then this, and then this. Nope, that didn't work. Okay, now let's do Jesus. In Genesis 3, we see the first believed prediction account foretelling Christ already. In Genesis 14, we see Abraham being promised by God, I will bless all people through you. That's Jesus coming through his lineage. Throughout our entire Bible, the Old Testament points to Christ. All of creation points to him. That it isn't just something that happened, but it's something that everything has been attesting to and everything since has been pointing back to. And it's something that we need to share with people. That this Jesus isn't something new, isn't something that just happened 2,000 years ago, but it's been happening since the beginning of time, since before the dinosaurs, before all the trees, before the world even had form. Jesus was already coming to die for us. He was already coming to show us his love. God thought about the perfect way to show his perfect love, and that was through Jesus. And if we don't show the story of it all throughout creation, throughout history, we're missing the building up. We're missing the desire that God had for us. That the Old Testament has been him striving after us, has been reaching out for us. That it isn't us just trying to reach up to God, but it's him reaching down, saying, come to me, my loved ones. It includes history. But ultimately, it is manifested in the Gospels. In the life of Christ is when it's manifested. And in the resurrection is what gives everything else meaning. I was talking with a kid over the summer about baptism. And I asked the question, is the resurrection important? And I thought it'd be an easy answer. I thought it'd be a, yeah, of course. But the answer surprised me. They said, no, I don't know. And I was shocked by that. Because his resurrection attests to who God is. If Jesus had just come down, lived a perfect life, died for us, and stayed in the ground, can the guy who can't save himself save us? He came back to overcome death so that we can overcome death. And Paul was adamant in this. In verse 5, he says, verse 4, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul was mad, crazy, in love with the resurrection. In 1 Corinthians 15:14, turn with me there if you have a Bible. And if Christ had not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. If Christ didn't resurrect, we should all be at home right now, sleeping in, having a nice brunch. But he resurrected. He gave meaning. He gave purpose. He gave hope to us. The resurrection is the most important thing because it gave power to his story, power to this book. Science argues a lot against the Bible about many things in this book, saying it's just a story, it's a nice tale, but it's not true. Some things aren't that important. Some things we can say, okay, science, it doesn't matter either way. But the one thing that we cannot budge on is the resurrection. That he didn't just come back as a spirit, but he came back again as a man. He completely resurrected. And he is the only person ever to have resurrected by his own power. There were others that came back from the dead. There was Jairus' daughter. There was Lazarus. But they all took someone else. Paul raised someone from the dead. But no one came back by their own power except Jesus Christ. He died and he said, this is fun, but I'm stronger than death. So he came back. I mean, that's what it is. He's stronger than death. Through his resurrection, we have victory. And it's his victory that we should be excited about. In the story where they find out that he is resurrected, Mary Magdalene runs back to the other apostles because she is excited about it. She is filled with joy to share, he's not dead, he's alive. And that's where the gospel goes to next. In Romans 5 through 7, he says, through him and for his namesake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. If the gospel just includes what it's done in our lives, just included all of creation, just included his resurrection, and that's where it stopped, we have an incomplete gospel. The gospel, in its very nature, has to go to other people. In Matthew 28, verse 16, it's the Great Commission. After he resurrects, he gives us this last charge. Jesus does. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. We get excited about things, do we not? We get excited when we get engaged, when we get married, when we have a new kid, when we get a new car, when we get a new house, when we graduate, when we win a tournament. We get excited about things. I'm at the age where everyone my age is getting married or getting engaged, and my Facebook feed is constantly filled with posts saying blank and blank got engaged to blank and blank. 1 million likes. 100 days until I get to be Miss whatever. A week until I get to marry the woman of my dreams. Today our daughter was born. Today my daughter won first place in the swimming meet. We post things that we're excited about. We share it. We don't say, I won that tournament. Let me go hide in my room now. But we go out with our medal. We show it off. Our parents take pictures. They are proud of us. But all of those other great, exciting things will eventually end. This gospel will never end. This gospel that we share will go off into eternity. After we die and all the other exciting things have finished, we have the excitement of Christ, of living together with him forever in heaven. But if we aren't sharing it, how can they experience this gospel? How can they experience this joy that we have? And if we're not sharing it, are we as excited about it as we should be? Because Paul, later on, says he's not the greatest speaker, but he is out there sharing this story. And Paul is getting killed for it, getting beaten for it, getting attacked for it, getting kicked out for it, getting put in prison for it. But he is so excited, so passionate about that, he is sharing it. So what is our excuse? We thankfully have the blessing to live in a nation that we don't have to fear physical persecution, getting put in jail for it. Yeah, we might get the occasional strange look, the occasional loss of a friend here or there. But is it worth sharing this good news with them? Does it mean enough to us that we are willing to go out and share it? Are we willing to say, my name is Charlie, let me tell you what God has done in my life. Let me tell you what he can do in your life as well. Because the gospel is a powerful thing. It is good news. We share good news. And when we share it, it's going to start with our story. It's going to start with that creation pointed to him, that it was manifested in the resurrection, and that we need to share it with others. I have a challenge for you guys this week. At some point during this week, take 5 minutes, an hour, a day, and get a paper and write out your summary of the gospel. Start with what God has done in your life. And if you don't know what that is, great. Time to talk to God. Time to pray and try to figure that out. Write down how creation has put it to him. Write down what the resurrection means for him and for you. And at the very bottom, write down who you are going to share this with. Because God has a thing about using the little man to do big things. He used fishermen and tax collectors and people who were not educated in the gospel to share his work, to start the church. So we know a little bit more about this than they do because we have the blessing to have all of it together. So if God used them, can he not use us as well? I encourage you to get that paper and to keep it with you, to memorize it, to learn it, to love it, and to share it. Heck, let your kids see you excited about it. Let your kids see you working on it. Let your kids see the love that you have for God and work on it with them too. Help them to figure out what the gospel means for them. I want to say a prayer to close out today, a prayer that will hopefully bless you and will hopefully give you strength when you do this. And if you need anything afterwards when we stand and sing, please come up. But let's close in a prayer. God, we know that you are a God who uses normal people to do extraordinary things. Use people who aren't skilled in words, people who kill, people who cheat, people who are afraid, people who lied. Use broken people to bring glory for your name. God, I ask that you use us. Use us to share your good news. Help us to be excited about it, Lord, to have a passion and a fire. Help us to remember the amazing feeling we had when we first gave our lives to you. Help that feeling, that passion, to be the thing that drives us to share your good news. Lord, we thank you for your gospel and for the power that has changed our lives. I ask that you be with all of us as we continue to try to know your gospel so well that we can get it down to a tweet. And I ask that you be with us, Lord, open our eyes and our minds and our hearts to those that you've put in our lives that we can share this gospel with. Help us to have the courage and the confidence to go out and share you with people. God, we love you, and we thank you for being with us as we do this challenge. In just a moment, we pray. Amen.
There's a cock on